will continue in the scriptures this morning in Matthew chapter 13, where we stopped off last week. We're going to pick up and take off this week. Get your Bibles ready. You should have brought your Bible to church today with you. Hopefully you brought your Bible and you're ready to read God's Word. And I'm going to come back and get my glasses back for my wife. I gave them to you during the training. Hold on, Nita. I'm going to backup plan. I'm going to my sister if I can't get them for my wife. All right, backup plan. My text got smaller. It's nothing to do with my eyes. These are fashionable. What kind of preacher wears these in the pulpit? Whew! All right, we'll struggle through together. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 33. It's all right. I have it all memorized. I'm good. Hug it up. Thank you for sharing a loving family. The parables of Jesus. Thank you very much. Let's try these. Wow, these. I'm getting more girly as I go. Hey, these work though. All right. Thanks, Mary Beth. It may get bigger, so I won't be so unfashionable that not put them on. I bought the 3-pack, you know, and I left. Somebody told me there's a pair on the bus. There's a pair in my office, I think. There's a pair at home, and they continued to disappear. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 33, Jesus is speaking about a parable, and the parable really is this week, it's extremely difficult. I'm telling you, as I thought that we were going to just edify the church with the parables and the teachings of Jesus, I've never been so challenged in all of my life to read the words of the Lord and actually find the meanings, and I'm only skipping rocks. So I want you to understand this morning, as we even read this passage, one verse, and then we're going to read the verse following, verse 34. But that one verse is a critical juncture in the scripture of the Lord telling us about when he was here on earth some 2,000 years ago, telling us about the present age they lived in, but all speaking of the future, also speaking of the future. Now, there's going to be some things that will upset you. Ladies, if you're here this morning, we're just going to be talking about a woman who hid this leaven in the bread. This woman is not a real person. This woman is symbolic of, I believe it's Babylon, the Babylonian ways, the Babylon who is actually the Babylon world system that's in place, I believe, even now. So when we read about the woman, she's symbolic, and when you see a woman in a doctrinal teaching in the scriptures, it usually represents evil. So don't be upset just because you're a woman today. When he uses the word woman, don't think that Jesus is down on women or that I am, but just when God in the scriptures has used that picture of a woman in a religious setting or doing a religious deed or in a doctrinal teaching, it usually represents evil. So when you read scripture, it's a good way to understand not that women are evil. Again, clarify that for you this morning before you walk out of here thinking, chauvinist, he hates women. That's not it. I'm just reading the words of Jesus, but I want you to understand, because this parable, at first reading, you will read this parable. Watch how quick you can read it. Let's read it together, how quick you can read verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. The end, right? What does that mean? It's easy to leave it there and go, what was he talking about? I don't even know what meal. Meal is flour, and leaven is yeast. Basically, how many of you made homemade bread or sourdough bread or something like that? You understand this concept, how it needs to be kneaded into added to the flour, and it'll rise. What happens if you let it rise too long? Is it going to grow? It'll keep growing, and it's going to get really gross because how many of you like sourdough bread? You went to restaurant, Old Charlie, some of these restaurants give sourdough. Raise your hand. Did you know that the yeast that's put in there is actually a fungus that grows? That makes the bread. It's a fungus that grows and makes the alcohol, and it eats the alcohol and the sugar. Causes alcohol and sugar. That's how it rises, because of a fungus that's growing in the bread. So every time you eat bread, you're eating a fungus, all right? Or fungi. I guess you eat more than one. So what I want you to understand is this is happening. So you get the picture. Jesus is talking about a woman. And I couldn't quite understand it when I first started this. We've had many talks in the staff, bouncing around. I've read a lot of commentaries. And some people have come to the place and saying that leaven here represents the gospel, and as the gospel is put out when Jesus was here, it grows. We talked about last week. This is very much a twin to last week's parable, but that's not what it's talking about. If you follow in Jesus' teaching, when he does, and by the way, he does explain the wheat and the tares next week. We're going to skip the next portion because we've already been there and done that. But he talks about what is the word, and he talks about who is the sower, and he talks about who is the ground. So if you follow the same train that Jesus was on, the leaven here represents sin or evil. Throughout Scripture, someone's done the count. Leaven in the Bible is symbolic of sin or evil. 98 times in the Bible, when you see the word leaven, It represents sin or evil. So whenever you see there's leaven in a church, what does that mean? There's sin in the church. Whenever there's leaven in the temple, or there's leaven when you have a Passover, what were you supposed to do with leaven during the Passover? Do you remember Leviticus, reading Leviticus? You had to get it out of the house, and if you found something with leaven in it, what did you have to do? Throw it away. You had to get rid of it. You had to separate so there was unleavened bread. We do the Lord's Supper. Now, I have to tell you, I've broken the Baptist tradition. We actually use crackers that probably have leaven in them, right? Because they're better tasting. Remember we used to eat the whatever that thing was we used to put in our mouth? And it tastes like you had a piece of chalk in your mouth. Well, really and truly, that is how plain and simple the gospel is. Jesus didn't bring us the gospel for us to be, oh, I love it. Church should be more exciting. Well, we need to do more things as a church. And think about the church today. The churches that are saying they're growing, they want more and more and more. Let's do more stuff. Let's have more events. Let's do more concerts. Let's get more and more like the world. The world needs a little salt and pepper, and the church should give it to them. But Jesus comes back and is very clear that even in the Passover, the bread was kind of bland. The herbs were bitter, right? Roast the lamb, bitter herbs, and just a plain, simple bread that had no leaven. Not really tasty. Sourdough comes in. We like, if I get a piece of plain bread with no yeast. You ever made biscuits with the wrong flour? Anyone ever done that? I've done that. It's like eating bricks. Let me clarify. Who knows how to make biscuits? I got a dead stare whenever I did that. Okay, five of you made biscuits. Have the five of y'all ever made biscuits with the wrong flour? It's like making bricks. It's like making, it doesn't work. So in this case, when Jesus is speaking very clearly about that the woman comes and she doesn't just, it doesn't say, and a woman added leaven to the bread, to the dough. What does she do? What does your translation say? What does she do? Look what she does. She hides it, which tells me she's kind of sneaking this thing in. She's sneaking the leaven in. So the leaven in this situation, I believe, is sin and corruption and evil. And the meal or the flour is the kingdom of God, which is right now God has instilled the church here on earth. So it's a picture of the church and the gospel, the truths found in the gospel, with a little bit of sin tucked in there. What happens if a church like us, Town Creek Baptist Church, we knowingly allow sin to, someone comes in, but Pastor, they're such a great singer. I mean, we know they're living in a sinful lifestyle, but we really should let them sing. What would happen to the church? Come on, talk back to me. What would happen? Compromise. We'll compromise at every corner. If it comes and we find out one of our leaders have been stealing money, we find out that somebody's been cheating on their taxes, we find out it's just habitual sin in someone's life, and we continue to let it go and look the other way, and we say, but they're such a good person, or they're such a great giver. In many churches, that's the way it works. This man's living a rotten, sinful life. Everybody in the community knows that he's no good, that he's a drunkard, that he'll cuss you out, he'll cheat you, he'll steal from you, he'll do whatever. But he gives a lot to the church, so what does many churches do? They look the other way. Many times they put up blinders. And what happens to a church when they allow sin or leaven come into the camp? It's going to start growing, right? And what happens is that sin is going to grow, and it's going to be one person. Well, if he gets away with it and no one says anything to him, well, no one's going to say anything to me. I dare anybody to say anything to me. And then what happens? Those people get in positions of authority and power in the local church, and you end up with a bunch of buildings with a bunch of people that looks nothing like the gospel church that God intended for it to be. And that's why people today say, there's so many hypocrites at church. Man, I go to parties with those guys, and then they're on Sunday morning, hypocrites. That's truth. I used to say the same thing. But what I want you to understand is Jesus here is talking about that big picture. So let's get going. Truth number one, leaven in the Bible is symbolic of sin or evil. 98 times I told you in the Bible, 75 times in the Old Testament, 23 times in the New Testament. I did not look that up. I got that out of a reference. Leaven in this parable is symbolic of belief, corrupted beliefs and evil coming into the church. Truth number two, as we continue to study Matthew, and we're going to continue through the Word, Jesus will warn his disciples in Matthew 16. So hold your place in 13. We have a little bit of work to do. If you don't have your Bible with you today, there's a pew Bible provided for you. That red, I think it's a red Bible in front of you. Matthew chapter 16. You should read this because God might speak to you. You might not hear anything I have to say this morning, but God might speak to you through his word. If you're searching about what do I do next, if you're searching about what is God's will for my life, if you're searching is God really real, listen, I encourage you to read the word of God as I preach this morning. God might speak to you a word that you're not even hearing what I'm saying But God might speak to you directly to your heart to give you direction and wisdom for today. But Matthew chapter 16, I want you to see what Jesus said about the Pharisees. And when he's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, he's talking about the sin and the evil. Remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These are men who were prominent men. These were men who were very religious in their time. These are men who would stand up and they would pray in public. They would give a lot of money. They would fast. They would come to the place where everybody would see, man, those guys are spiritual. Those guys, man, if I was going to be like anybody, they're the closest people to God that I've ever known is those people who act out. They give a lot of money. They look right. They pray. They stand on the street corners and they pray. And they talk to God. And the Bible tells us they would dishevel their face. They put a little dirt on their outfit to look like that boy, they've just been suffering for a long, long time. And when people see them, those people really are close to God. They were fakes. They were fakes. And watch what Jesus has to say about these fakes. And listen carefully this morning. If you've come to church many times, or you just come to church this morning for the first time, if you're a guest or a member, and if you're a fake, Jesus Christ is going to call you out on Judgment Day. You're not going to make it just because you attended church this morning or attended church at some time. Listen, you're going to give an account because he says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, not anyone in Achan, not anyone in anywhere in the world is going to come to the Father except through me. There is a narrow way to get to the Father. There's a broad way for everyone else to go. And there's many people on the broad way. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said himself, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of sin, leaven, or iniquity, right? Those words are similar there. But Matthew 16, watch what Jesus says about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. These are the religious men who are supposed to be teaching God's people about God. And here's what they did. 16, verse 5. I know I'm jumping ahead. We'll get here in a couple weeks. I'm just going to read it. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Thank God these men were men, right? Guys, you ever forget something? And your wife, she makes a sarcastic comment, or your mother, or whoever it might be, and you think she's talking about the very object, but she's talking about something totally unrelated to the object. It's just the way you constantly do this. Do you follow what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the object that you forgot. It has to do with everything, the way, a lifestyle, or something that you've been doing. So watch what happens. Here's some guys, right? These are great guys. I love them. So they forgot to take bread. And then verse 6, then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven, right? This is sin or evil or corruption, of the religious Pharisees and Sadducees. And then what do the guys do? As guys we do, right? We're very simple, right? Verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves saying, it is because we have taken no bread. So Jesus gives them a warning about the teachings of the Pharisees, the sin and the corruption, the corrupted teaching of the religious Pharisees. And they automatically, simple men, relate leaven to bread, and they're saying, we've sinned because we didn't bring bread. They're very simple people, and I thank God that he calls simple people, aren't you? God calls simple people, and watch what happens. Jesus responds in verse 8. But Jesus, being aware of it, it being what they said, he said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven or the corruption or the corrupt teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Verse 12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And doctrine in that word means the teachings, the person who stands before you that teaches you the word of God. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and Pharisees, the Pharisees and Sadducees of their day. Now, do we have that same warning today? Is there a warning sign to beware of false teaching and false doctrine today? Yes. In every church, in every place, God constantly, if you go through and read the New Testament, Paul is constantly warning, do not let this leaven, do not let this corrupt teaching, do not let this corrupt living into your church house. Do not allow it to come in, because we know every time God works, Satan comes right behind God and he tries to bring corruption. And some people can sit in church their entire life and they go, I've heard that one before. I've read that one before. And the whole time they're living a corrupt lifestyle and they're saying, listen, you don't understand. I love God just like you love God. Don't judge me, man. Don't judge me because I love God as well. My God would never send anybody to hell. Your God is not the God of the Bible. Your God is your own making. You made him up. You made up the rules. You made your own guidelines for your God. Listen, I would just assume not serve any God and say there is no God. I put more stock in an atheist that says there is no God than I would in someone that says my God would never, and they fill in the blanks. And I don't put any stock in an atheist. That tells you how much I put in someone that's religious and talk about their God of love and their God of peace. Listen, the Bible says very clearly that God is love. The Bible does say very clearly as Christians, this is how all men would know that we're his disciples, because of the love that we have for one another. So I'm not minimizing love, I'm maximizing love, but I want to maximize the truth that God is a God of holy love, but he's a God of holy wrath, he's a God of holy anger, and he's a God of holy hatred. And we talk about loving pizza but hating olives or whatever it might be that we don't like that turns us off. That we don't understand the true concept of God when it comes to his nature, his holy nature. God loves you with an enduring holy love, but listen, I want to tell you, people talk about loving the sinner and hating the sin, right? We're so good with that. Don't we just squish, squish, we squish up as Christians? Oh, we just want to love you and squeeze you like a little rubber duck. God loves you. Squish, squish, right? He hates your sin. Squish, squish. Let me squish, squish you this morning. Let me pop your bubble this morning. If you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will spend eternity under God's wrath in a place called hell forever. That's the truth found in the Word of God. He's not a squish, squish, lovey God. He's not one that's like some little powder puff angel floating around hoping that you'll just follow me and do good works. God is a God of wrath. If you read Revelation chapter 1, you'll see a God. You'll see a Jesus Christ that stands. He's no longer that humble that we see these pictures in children's Bibles, and I almost don't like pictures in children's Bibles because we depict Jesus as this weak little punk that walks around letting everybody beat him up. He was meek, but he was not weak. He was extremely strong. He was the Son of God. He was the creator of the universe, and yet he was meek enough to allow men to hit him in the face, to rip out his beard, to spit in his face, and to crucify him on a cross because it was his ultimate plan. It was his ultimate plan to redeem you and to redeem me from a life of sin. And yet today we sow patty cake with this because we've had the doctrine of demons. We've had the doctrine of Pharisees and Sadducees getting to the church that says, listen, just love everybody. Don't stand for anything because, you know, our culture says this. And I want to tell you, the culture is growing dark. The days are dark. The lighthouse, listen, unfortunately, the lighthouse of Jesus Christ, which is the church, is growing dark as well because the church buildings are letting the lost sinners who don't care one hoot about Jesus Christ into their memberships, and they're poisoning and bringing in this leaven, and they're just like this woman. They're sliding in sin just into the house of God and saying, I'm good with God. I'm good with God. We have church discipline here. It's the most painful thing you possibly can go through. And as a pastor, you can imagine my business. I come into your life and say, listen, this is what God says. A deacon comes to you and says, or a woman comes to you and says, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if a brother is called into sin, you go to them privately, quietly, one-on-one. If they won't hear you, take two or three witnesses with you. And then if they won't hear them, bring them before the church, let them speak to the church. This is why I'm living in sin, because I choose to. And if they won't hear that sin, cast them out from you. Paul even talked about, look at 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 8. This is the truth number 3. Paul saw the leaven at work attempting to corrupt the church in Corinth. This is happening on every corner in every church, and it's coming to a church near us. Listen, with the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. I want to tell you, listen, same-sex marriage is from the pit of hell. Listen, man loving man or having intimate relationships with a man is absolutely the most sinful, grievous thing that God seen man do on this planet. He says it's unnatural. If you read Romans 1, people say, well, God never spoke about it. Jesus never spoke about it. If it's written in the Bible, Jesus Christ has spoken about it. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ was there in the beginning and even before the beginning. Jesus Christ was the author. He was the creator of this earth. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He has written it. If it's in the Bible, Jesus Christ has spoken about it. Don't give God credit and then Jesus credit and the Holy Spirit credit. The three are one. Amen, amen, and amen. That should have been a louder amen than that. Here's the deal. The problem is, it's at a door near you. You have a friend, but my friend's so lovely. And he walks around flirting like this, acting like girls. And I got this girlfriend. She's a good girl, but she just likes girls. She's really manly man. And she's my good friend. I want to tell you, your good friend is going to a bad hell if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be a homosexual and a Christian at the same time. You cannot be an adulteress and a Christian at the same time. To the point, listen, you can fall into sin. You can fall into a time of sin. All of us have slipped and fallen into the sin. We can backslide. But I want to tell you, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when you get to that place, that low living, the Holy Spirit's going to push you. He's going to push you. He's going to push you and saying, repent, repent, repent. He's going to bring things in your life. Repent, repent, turn back to me, turn back to me, turn back to me. And then he's going to take you from this planet if you belong to him. You can't lose your salvation. If you've ever been saved, I believe you're once saved, forever saved, if you've been saved. And the key indication of your salvation is you're going to get spanked. God himself said in the word of God, listen, your earthly fathers, you discipline your sons when they are in trouble. Our heavenly father disciplines us as well if you belong to him. If you're not being disciplined from God and you're living in sin, you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, you can't judge me like that. I haven't judged you. The word of God has spoken clearly. If you're not being punished or disciplined by God because of your sinful lifestyles, listen, I want to tell you, you don't belong to him. There's no squish-squish patty cake here at Town Creek Baptist Church anymore, right? Listen, speak the truth in love, and I'm speaking with passion this morning. I'm not angry. I'm passionate about, listen, we're letting our friends, we're letting our coworkers, we're letting our friends in middle school and high school and college, we're letting them at the workplace, we're letting our friends go to hell because we're squish-squish, Jesus loves you. We even sing songs, how I'm a friend of God. Lost people are singing, I'm a friend of God. People are singing, God loves me so much. He does love you because he is a God of love. He's first loved us, right? That's how we can love him. This is the truth. But I want to tell you, God hates your sin with a passion. God hates your cursing with a passion. God hates your alcoholism with a passion. God hates your drug use with a passion. God hates it so much that he crucified his own son to stand in the gap for your sins and for mine. And don't think that he's going to give you a quick pass because you spit at his son and said, no, thank you, Jesus, I'll do it my way. He will not have mercy when it comes to your time of death. He will not have mercy when it comes to judgment day. And we will not be at the same judgment. There'll be those who are at the great white throne judgment. And the way I told you I remembered it is this great white sharks are bad, right? Great white throne judgment. Lost people will be at that judgment. Christians will not be there. If you're there, you will never have an opportunity to ever go to heaven. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give an account for everything you say and do in this life as a Christian. You're still going to give an account. You're still going to be judged. But you're going to give an account. But you are going to heaven if you're at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I did tell you about 30 minutes ago to go there, didn't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about this leaven that has snuck into the house of God. It's happening in the 21st century. We talked about Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. Listen, the Supreme God has already spoken on same-sex marriage. And he's thumbed it down, saying it's unnatural. Right? He's destroyed whole cities and people groups because of that lifestyle. He's come very clear about it. And the only reason I'm speaking so much about that is because it's the topic of the day in our culture. How do we do? What do we do? We pray. Obviously, that's the first and foremost thing that we do. But we also contact those who represented us. They represent us at the State House. They represent us in the White House. And I'm not going to ask you, but how many of you have actually called somebody or sent a letter or sent an email and said, Congressman, Representative, this is how I believe and this is what I wish to hear. This is how I want you to vote. And if you haven't done that, you haven't done your responsibility as an American, and I believe as a Christian that's free in this nation, to speak to those people that we elect and put in office. You failed at your responsibility. Do not complain when they start coming through the doors and arresting preachers and arresting Bible study teachers for preaching or teaching against this lifestyle, this alternative lifestyle, as the world says. When there is no more Town Creek Baptist Church and there are no more God-fearing Christians that can speak publicly, do not complain and do not gripe to your friends and to your grandkids and to your kids about how awful it is and how dark the times are if you're not willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still day. Stand. We sit here and look around and we go, well, I'm too young. It's time to have fun. I just want to have fun. I don't want to deal with all this serious stuff. Let the preachers do that. Let the deacons do that. Let the Sunday school teachers do that. Listen, if you've been called by God, if you're saved this morning, that leaven is constantly, that woman is constantly, that woman's system is constantly trying to come around and stick just a little bit of sin into your life. Because what happens when you get introduced, you ride with a friend somewhere, they're not Christians and you're trying to influence them and you hang out with that person and they take you somewhere where you shouldn't be. They take you to that party. They take you to that house. They take you out in the woods. They go and do something. And they introduce you and say, see, we got away with this. No one even knows anything about it. I want to tell you, the Bible says there's an all-seeing God that sees everything you say, do. When you lay down, when you sit down, when you rise up, when you go back and forth, he sees everything that happens in your life. He's going to hold you accountable, folks. Listen, this morning, faith, family, and friends, he's going to hold you accountable. Paul talks about here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. He's writing a letter. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. Meaning the lost people don't even do like this. He's writing to the church. These are Christians. That a man has his father's wife. This man has either married or having relationships with his stepmother. This is nasty stuff. The Bible is very rated R. It's very clear. God doesn't powder coat real life, does he? He tells us the truth. In verse 2, and this is us. Listen to us. This is to me and this is to you, if you're a Christian. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed than he might be taken away from you among you. Why? What's happening? Everybody's going, squish, 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 squish. We just love him. He's one of our favorite guys. Boy, when he talks to us, he just makes me feel warm inside. We know he's hanging out and doing wrong things with his mother, stepmother, but squish, 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 squish. We love him, right? And the whole time he's come in, she's come into the church, slipped a little bit of leaven in there. Everybody knows about it. It's a dirty little secret. It's a skeleton in the closet. Everybody knows it's happening in the church, but yet, squish, squish, we like him too much to tell him the truth. Matter of fact, we love him. I taught him in Sunday school, and I can't even bear the thought of that poor little boy. The trauma he's been through, he was abused when he was a kid, and his situation's awful. And even today, are we not doing it around the country? We're doing it around the country today, are we not? In America especially, and it's around the world. People looting and rioting and because of something they don't even know anything about. Squish, squish. Poor kids. Squish, squish. Instead of going there and proclaiming in love, and by the way, there's chaplains on the ground, there's preachers on the ground, there's churches that are standing up and going to these places and saying, we love you, we've been offering you opportunity, we love you. And listen, I don't make fun or the disenfranchised people of this world, but the same squish-squish won't work for them, just it don't work for the high and ups. The same gospel is the same gospel for everyone, poor and rich alike and everyone in between. Paul says here, listen, you're puffed up. Verse 3, for I indeed as absent in the body but present in spirit have already judged as though I were present. Paul judged. Judge not, Paul. Don't judge me, man. Right? Judge not, lest you be judged by the same measure by which you judge. Was Paul willing to write this because he was clear in his walk with God? Church, the answer is yes. He's clear with God. I've judged as though I were present. Him who has already done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, read this carefully with me, verse 5. Deliver such a one to whom? Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that's his body, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, what does it do? It leavens the whole lump. A little corruption, a little corrupt teaching, when it gets in the door of the church and we let it go, it's going to mess all of us up eventually. That's why we're so, with a fearful heart, we stand in the gap and say, listen, we will stand here. We will call sin, sin as best we can. We'll confess sins as soon as we can. We'll hold each other accountable. And that's why you don't, hey, preacher, hey, pastor, did you know? It's not my business to know necessarily. It's your business to go to that brother or sister. Because the Bible, Matthew 18, is not written to preachers. It's written to followers of Jesus Christ. It is your responsibility as a minister of the gospel, as a minister to carry the gospel, to speak the truth in love, and to see that actually sin or leaven does not get tucked in like that woman tucks it into the dough and get into our congregation. When you're gathered together, look around. I want everybody to take a look left and right. Look around real quick. When we're gathered together like this, the hard thing is to raise our hand and say, yes, I love you, brother. But I'm going to see you dismissed from our church. You will not be a part of our fellowship until you get this sin issue right. We've had this in the past, right? The first time we come across this issue was years ago. We had 40 people leave the church that Sunday morning and never came back to Town Creek Baptist Church. A man was cheating on his wife, and some of you remember it. And they left the church and never came back. Said, I'm never going back to that mean church. We did exactly what Jesus said to do. We followed the steps even greater than we should have. And then last Sunday, if you were here, we had a restoration. First time I've ever been a part of that. Someone that was restored after over a year, they were restored from being in church discipline. Church discipline should be a fearful thing, should it not? I don't want to be a part of it. I want to live a clean and holy life. I don't want to be a part of the judgment of the church or of God. So people might call you unloving and unholy, but listen, you stand guard with the Lord Jesus Christ at your right hand, the Holy Spirit at your back, and you say what God says about sin. and you say about what God says about sin, and you stand in the gap ready to love and discipline and then love and restore. Amen? So he keeps telling you and tells you, listen, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Verse 7, therefore purge. What does the word purge mean? It means something different in our culture today to young people, right? It's a stupid movie. All right? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And finally, I want to finish up with this. Listen, y'all understand that leaven was hidden in his three measures of flour or meal. She snuck it in there. She put it in there so that it actually would cause a disruption in the flour, so it wouldn't be ready. And I don't want to ever stand in the gap where nothing would hinder Town Creek Baptist Church from being ready to do what God's called us to do. The shame of reproach of Achan, not the city of Achan, but if you remember the Old Testament, Achan, whenever they had to battle, God said, don't keep anything from the enemy. And he saw this nice wardrobe, and he went out and took the wardrobe. He took some jewels, right, some of gold and silver, and he hid it under his tent. And they went to the next battle and lost the battle. And Joshua cries out to God. He gets on his face. God, what are you doing? We've done what you said to do. And God says, shut up and get up. There's sin in the camp. Right? That's my loose interpretation. But that's what he said to him. Get up. Be quiet and get up. You've got sin in the camp. And they went from tribe to tribe. And then they broke it down from tribe to tribe. They broke it down. Went from family to family. And when they got down to man, they found out who it was, because God showed them who it was. And what did they do? Now, this is Old Testament. We won't do this today. Listen, if you're caught in sin, they killed him and his family. They burned him and all the belongings. He was a reprobate to the group of Hebrews, and they killed him. Now, do we have a God of love today? Aren't you glad there's a new covenant of blood covenant that we actually transition when we read today? When we get caught in sin, instead of being stoned to death or burned to death or crushed, that God says, listen, when a brother is in sin, go to them quietly. Don't bring it up. Don't make a matter of it. Go to them quietly. And if they won't hear you, take two or three witnesses with you. Maybe they're just a little hard-headed. Take their friends that are Christians and say what God says about the sin. And if they won't hear them, then let them come and speak and tell the church. Church, today, this is why I'm living in adultery. Right? What would you say to that if you had a man stand up here or a woman stand up here going, today I want to tell you why I'm cheating on my wife. Is there any reason that you would listen to that you would listen to what he has to say? So when someone says, I'm cheating on my wife, the first thing that should come out of your mouth is like, get him off the stage. He's got nothing to say to me because he's not living a holy life. I vote that we immediately dismiss him from our church family. That should be your response. Would you agree? Or her, whoever it might be, whatever the situation is, as soon as we find that out and they will not repent from the sin, they say, listen, you don't understand my situation. She loves me, and I love her. I just happen to be married to this other woman. Unacceptable. Amen? All right, watch this finally. Truth number 6, I want you to see this. And I've jumped a couple of truths. Jesus revealed these mysteries to us to heed the warning and to live a holy life. Go back to Matthew 13, and I want to go to 1 Peter. I want us to finish up there. Matthew 13. Verse 34 follows up when Matthew writes, says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad that we live in a time that the Lord took these secrets since the beginning, since the first tree was made, or the first animal, the first human? These are secrets from the beginning that God has now revealed in our time today. Why does he reveal the truth? He wants, one, for you to come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants you to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. But he also wants to know, listen, salvation is not cheap. And it's not always the cleanest, prettiest situation. When we get sin in the camp, it makes a dirty situation out of a holy situation. Would you agree? And our job is to put on our work gloves, put on our work boots, and the spiritual work boots and gloves, and get to work and love each other and hold each other accountable. It's difficult. It's tiring. Every time that I hear in a counseling situation, guess what? I go home and Wendy knows by now, why do you look so tired? I said, I had black hair when I got here, I think. I had hair. What am I saying? I had hair when I got here. I never knew how difficult it was to be a pastor. And it is difficult. But I want to encourage you today, listen, I wouldn't do anything else. God's called me to the task at hand. And we're going to do it to the best of our ability and knowledge that we know. But we can't do it by ourselves. We have to come to a place where you, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't care what your age is, will stand up and say about sin, what God says about sin. You will hold the Bible in your left or right hand and you will proclaim, listen, Jesus Christ until he comes. You will stand in the gap. You'll gather together. We'll do things together that are extreme fun. We'll have hard, painful times together when we go through those difficult times we talked about in Bible study this morning. But I want to tell you, listen, we stand arm in arm with the Holy Spirit to our back, knowing that we're looking and seeing for his return. How many of you saw the clouds a few weeks ago with that big river of clouds that seemed like it came out of the west, come up, or east, whichever way it came up? It was overwhelming. I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures I put on Facebook. I stopped and pulled over and took pictures because I thought the Lord Jesus Christ was returning. Literally, it says the clouds are going to roll back like a scroll, right? There was actually a perfect scroll. There was a round cloud all the way down. I mean, as far away to Augusta, because I was getting ready to turn on the I-20. I was overwhelmed in my spirit. I'm going to be honest with you, tell you, I was ready to go. Woo, here we go. He said, I thought it was going to happen quick, but I'm watching this thing move, and I'm like, I parked the car and got out. I told you I was responsible, so my car wouldn't be, because I'm going to heaven when he comes back. I didn't want to be doing 70 and let that Honda just take off into somebody else's car, right? I want to give him a chance. So I pulled over. I literally pulled over. I'm waiting. Whew, it was exciting. I believe he's coming back. I believe we're going to give an account. And I believe we must be diligent while we're here to be faithful to love him with all of our heart. You won't get everything right. And listen, this parable, it goes back into the Leviticus. I didn't even get a chance to go back to the Old Testament and tell you all about the representation that are there in the Old Testament. It's rich. This one little verse that I would easily skip over, Jesus Christ has spoken deeply about. He's telling us truths of the past, the present, and about the future. We serve an amazing God who loves us, but he's passionate that we would do it his way. You can't do it your way. You're going to do it his way. Let me leave you with this 1 Peter chapter 3. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. If you had a subheading in your Bible, mine says, you can make it, Beth, you can actually, thank you. Mine says, living before God our Father. Verse 13 says, therefore, and you got to read what it's there for, you got to read before us. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Think about picking up something and tightening it in your belt, right? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, what should you be, church? You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And then it continues, he talks about how God is not partial when he makes out judgment. How he's very clear, listen, you must live his way. He's not going to accept your way. Well, God, this is how I understood it. I didn't read the Bible, but this is how I understood it. You must read his word, you must obey his word, and you must follow his commands and statutes. He don't give you the option. You can't get to heaven and say, I am a Christian, but Lord, you know, I just didn't know any of that stuff. He's given us Bible in print, on CD, on DVD, on MP3, on some other E's, right? He's given us the Bible in every way we possibly can have today, and yet we don't read the Bible. Satan knows if he can get you busy, get you distracted, you'll never know what God wants for your life. You'll always be wondering, what is God's will for my life? I just wish I knew what to do next. I wish I knew what the next chapter of my life was. What am I going to do when I graduate? I wish I knew when I get this job promotion. I wish I knew. And the whole time, the loving Father that we serve has the answer for you. But you've got to seek it in his word. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, one verse in the Bible, how does it mean so much to us? One word from you, Lord, has the power to give life or to take life. Father, help us today. We are in need. There's young and old in this room today. We're at all different stages of life. We all have different needs. Some we will voice and some we're embarrassed to talk about. Some we're hoping that it would just go away. Some are financial. People are struggling. Some are health. People are struggling. It's recovery from surgeries and treatments. Lord, it's all the things that are on the table this morning as we as humans struggle through. We need your help. Father, spiritually, we all need your help, no matter where we find our place today. If someone's here today and they've never given their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they like this Christian thing, they like coming to church and gathering, but they don't want to be accountable to a living God or to brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray you would challenge their heart, let the Holy Spirit work in their heart, that they would submit and give up their life, surrender completely, pull up the white flag of surrender and say, Lord, I quit, I want you to take over. And Father, if there's brothers and sisters that are here today, and I know we come from all different backgrounds and different places in the world, Father, I pray that you would actually burden our hearts, that we would be men and women of the gospel, that we're Christians. And Father, sometimes we fall short, and do forgive us, we pray, Father. And I know individually we all have to ask that prayer. But Father, today I pray that we would get red hot for Jesus Christ. Lord, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court rules. I'm going to preach the same thing the day after they rule as I did the day before they ruled. Because I have nothing else to say other than what you say in the Word of God, the truth found in the Scripture. It doesn't matter if people are burning down cities. It doesn't matter if people are complaining about Christians that won't serve certain lifestyles. It doesn't matter what the officers, the police officers are doing, firemen are doing, what people didn't do in the medical field. It doesn't matter if our trash wasn't picked up on Tuesday like it was supposed to. It doesn't matter. Life really and truly doesn't matter to the point unless we have you as our center. And Lord, we know that we have you as our center in our life. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We love you. Lord, thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.